I am very grateful to the dear Lord Jesus for this privilege of being in your pulpit and to worship him together with you. I thank very much our dear brother John Speed and his good friend and brother Tim Crawford. There you are. I'm coming right. For allowing me to come to this part of your country, and I'm very grateful for this meeting's last evening where I was able to preach one sermon broken up into two. And I'd long for every one of you, if God would put it on your heart, to try and get that video or DVD, whatever you would name it here. Those of you that were not here, but God bless you, and thank you, good brothers, for allowing me to be here with you. And also, there's some young people that kept us rather late last night. Ryan, Ring, Nold, Sean Morris, Jake Gardner, Tucker Seale, all these fellows who love the King James Bible. And we sat there last night, and I just sense your integrity and zeal for Christ. And I'm sure heaven was standing still at some of the statements you made last night in your love for Christ. And I'm very grateful for the honor of having sat with those young people last evening after the service. Also, I see quite a lot of folks put their names down for the newsletter that my wife, well, different people in your continent send it out. If you don't want to receive a newsletter to pray for this old man in Africa, then just take a copy. They made photocopies as best as they could of this program in America. It's the 32nd time I've toured your country, and sometimes to many great auditoriums, sometimes to small. Doesn't matter, so long as it's God's itinerary. And over the last 32 tours of 10-week tours of your country, God has helped me to have the privilege, normally in very deeply conservative pulpits across this whole land. And I am deeply grateful for that privilege. Also, I see my wife's book, one of the books, is in the back there. They must have sent it ahead. I only saw it after the meeting, so thank you for putting it out there. I don't know how you work in your country, but on Sundays, the conservative Christians, we don't do any trading with money at all, because you've got 6 days to do that. From what I gather, it's something of a donation of whatever you feel. Even if you haven't got money and you're starving, please take it for nothing. But there's a table there with my wife Jenny's book. It has been used in a remarkable way to bring many multitudes of people to know Christ, and many preachers in the world who've sent these emails and phone calls of how God met with them in a way they've never ever experience through one of the poems just been put in their hands. They've just broken before God and found vital reality, some for the first time in their lives. So that poetry book of hers has been honored in a lovely way, and I see there's a few copies back there on some table of my darling wife. And if you'd like to see why I'm such a very blessed and happy man, just go and see the photograph on that poetry book of hers, and you'll know how wealthy I am. Well, God bless every one of you for being here. I am deeply grateful. I'm putting that on to know when to stop. Can we bow before God? There is a baby's room, I believe, with every bit of equipment to make you comfortable and not to disturb God's word. To others, to those who perhaps don't know of that, I'm very scared not to offend, but scared that anyone might not be able to concentrate who came here this morning. So our Father, we bless thee for the mercy of God upon sinners. We bless thee for the grace and mercy upon every one of us who deserve eternal damnation apart from our Lord Jesus Christ, great sacrifice, there's none of us that would be able to have hope of eternal life. We praise Thee above everything for Christ, for His love to all men, for He tasted death for every man. He faced death for every man. How we love Thee for our Saviour. And those of us who have been washed in the blood of God, God the Son, in whom God the Holy Spirit dwells. For he that hath not the Spirit of Christ is none of him. To every one of us who, as newborn babes, have desired, devoured the milk of the Word, to be renewed day by day to enable us to walk with God and not to bring blaspheme on God's name by daring to say, we're saved. If we're not kept by the power of God through faith that cometh by the Word alone, to the degree we soak ourselves in it. To all of us who are washed in the blood, we come and offer Thee praise and adoration and gratitude. We ask Thee to visit us now. Wash me in mercy in the blood of Jesus Christ. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Anoint my mind and my lips and every faculty of my being. I suppose the greatest fear I have on earth is to be in the pulpit without God. There's nothing more dangerous on earth in history than a man in the pulpit before men with a Bible in his hand, alone, without God. Have mercy, please. And because of the blood, wash me clean, that I might be a vessel meet for the Master's use. And visit us now through Thy holy word. Even the hardest heart break completely forever today through Thy word. Protect us from our only enemy, Satan, and all the demons, the third of the angels of heaven who was swept with his tail as he was cast down. All who rebelled against Thee, who are now desperate demons, protect us from all the powers of darkness that follow and serve Satan. And visit us. Visit us now. In Jesus, the Christ's holy name, and for His glory alone. And don't let Satan use any one of us, even if it's with a cell phone, to break down God's work now. For Christ's sake, amen. Please don't follow me in your Bibles, because it's a few hundred verses I'm quoting. And I don't want pages ruffling. Trust me, I'm not taking anything out of its context. Psalm 73, verse 3. I was envious at the foolish. I was envious at the foolish. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked, I was envious at the foolish. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Verse 17, until I went into the sanctuary until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Then understood I their end. Job 21, verse 13. They spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. They live their lives in luxury and wealth, and without any prolonged sickness and suffering, they die. They spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. Therefore they say unto God, depart from us. Depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge. We desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we should serve him? And what profit should we have that we should pray unto him? In Proverbs 30, verse 8, a godly and wise man earnestly but carefully prayed, Give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. In Luke 12, verse 15, Jesus said, take heed and beware of covetousness. Take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them. He spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? Whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Psalm 49, verse 16.
Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. When he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul. And men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. In Luke 16, verse 19, Jesus said, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. He lived in luxury every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus, in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, for I am tormented in this flame. Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. So that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham. But if one went unto them from the dead, if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Oh, how many on the day of judgment will hear Christ cry the words recorded in Matthew 25, verse 41. Oh, how many on the day of judgment will hear Christ cry the words recorded in Matthew 25, verse 41. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered? When saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not for one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. Inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. The righteous into life eternal. James 5 verse 1, Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. The rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Mark 10, verse 17. And when he was gone forth, when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him, and asked him, Good Master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. do not bear false witness, defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way. Sell whatsoever thou hast. Sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come. Come, take up the cross. And follow me. Come. Take up the cross. And follow me. And he was sad at that saying. He was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished. The disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. All things are possible. Matthew 6, verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. No man. can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot serve God and be materialistic. Though many preachers today say, you can. How many mega churches get their mega audiences by preaching, you can. We call them prosperity preachers. God warns us of such damnable heresies. In 1 Timothy 6 verse 5, God says, he speaks to us and he warns us of men destitute of the truth. Destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness. That if you're right with God, that you will prosper if you get right with God. You will prosper financially if you get right with God. Men destitute of the truth. Supposing, that literally means teaching, preaching, that gain is godliness. You prosper when you're right with God. Come to God, you prosper. No wonder they fill their pews. People want to get rich, so they come to God. You can't come to God to get rich. You come to God because he shed his blood for you. And no matter what you face from that day to the day you die, doesn't matter. All you do is know you're damned for eternity for rejecting or playing the fool or being light concerning the sacrifice he made for you. You come to God with no preconditioned ideas. Don't you preach such hell-bound heresies. Men destitute of the truth, supposing, preaching that, teaching that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. I wish I could go and nail that across all the doorways of the mega churches of called prosperity preaching. From such withdraw thyself, God says. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Having food and raiment, clothes, let us therewith be content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. While some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. James chapter 2, verse 1, my brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. For if there come unto your assembly, a man with a gold ring and goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool. Are ye not then parceling yourselves, and become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. For he that said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not kill. Now, if thou commit no adultery, yet if thou kill, thou art become a transgressor of the law. So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. So speak ye, and so do as they that shall be judged by the law of liberty. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren? What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things that are needful to the body, what are they profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, worthless in God's eyes. Is dead, being alone. One John 3, verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. Whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we do know that we are of the truth. Hereby we do know that we are of the truth. Hereby we do know that we are of the truth. For if our heart condemn us, right now, under this God's word, if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our hearts. God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Proverbs 14, verse 31. He that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker. If you think of all these verses strewn throughout the Bible, and I'm just touching on the surface of them, if you just think of all we've considered that God said, he that oppresseth the poor reproacheth his maker. But he that honoreth him, he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. He that oppresses the poor reproacheth his maker. But he that honoreth him hath mercy on the poor. Proverbs 14, verse 21. He that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. But whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. God promises, or God lies. But whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. Proverbs 21, verse 13. Proverbs 28, verse 27. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. Shall not lack. But he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. God promises. God's word promises. He that giveth unto the poor shall not lack. God promises. But he that hideth his eyes shall have many a curse. Proverbs 11, 25. The liberal soul shall be made fat. The generous soul shall be made rich, God says. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself, God promises. The generous soul shall be made rich, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. Proverbs 19, verse 17. He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth to the Lord. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again? He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth to the Lord. And that which he hath given, will he pay him again? Oh, beloved, Job was referred to as the godliest man of his generation. Job was referred to as the godliest man of his generation. But listen carefully to his testimony to understand why. Job 29, verse 12. I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. I delivered the poor that cried, and the fatherless, and him that had none to help him. The blessing of him that was ready to perish, the blessing of him that was ready to perish came upon me. And I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. Verse 15, I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame. I was a father to the poor. I was a father to the poor. Verse 25. Did not I weep for him that was in trouble? Did not I weep for him that was in trouble? Was not my soul grieved for the poor? Beloved, God demands integrity. God demands integrity in all our dealings with money. God demands integrity in all our dealings with money. Proverbs 19, verse 1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Proverbs 16, verse 8. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with outright. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues with outright. Proverbs 15, verse 16. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. And go to most people on earth with great treasure to see what God's speaking about. Especially the way they got it and the consequences. God demands integrity in all our dealings with money, beloved. God demands integrity with government taxes. God demands integrity with government taxes. Matthew 22, verse 17. Is it lawful? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? The hypocrites. The hypocrites demanded of Christ. Is it right to give taxes to those who govern over us, even though they're godless, or not? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? And Jesus answered in verse 21, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Romans 13, verse 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Let every soul, be subject unto the higher powers, unto governing authorities. Verse 5. Wherefore ye must needs be subject. Ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. Not only because you might get into trouble with the government if you don't pay taxes, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for conscience' sake, if you're saved, if you carry the name of Christ. For this cause pay ye tribute also, taxes also. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to tribute, tax to the tax collector. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to tribute, custom to custom. Verse 8, owe no man anything. Are you living in total defiance of Christ? Without blinking an eyelid or going to sleep in the night without even asking forgiveness. Owe no man anything. Proverbs 3, verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it? Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Render therefore to all their dues. Give to the tax people the moment you're able to. Make sure you're able to. Just have a few less pairs of shoes. And how many other thousand things you could write down right now that you don't need to have God's testimony. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to tribute, tax to the tax collector, custom to custom, owe no man anything, verse 8. Beloved, God demands holiness and integrity in all our dealings with money if we name the name of Christ or stop naming the name of Christ from today. Sir, God demands integrity in all our dealings with money. God demands integrity with government taxes if you name the name of Christ as your Savior. God demands integrity in stewardship or in any dealings with finances within the church or God's service. God demands integrity in stewardship. 2 Kings 12, verse 15. Moreover, they reckoned not with the men. They reckoned not with the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be bestowed on workmen, for they dealt faithfully. They reckoned not. They required no accountancy, no accounting. They reckoned not with the men into whose hand they delivered the money to be bestowed on workmen, for they dealt faithfully. That's a testimony. No one would even think of asking for accountability of what you've done with it if they've chosen you to handle money in God's service or God's name. Otherwise, don't trust a man if you think the possibilities there. First Corinthians 4, verse 2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 20, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us, that no one in this world will touch us of anything or even suspect us the way we are so open-handed with every single cent entrusted to us if we are stewards. Those who handle the finances in God's service have brought such shame on God's name throughout the evangelical church as they go to prison from their leaders down in the front pages of the newspaper, that I wonder how many millions of souls have gone to hell because of that alone. The lack of integrity or truth of testimony, that no one would want that religion. Not even someone in sin would say that's integrity or that religion has anything for me. That no man should blame us, accuse us as they do in church upon church, denomination upon denomination. What kills me is it's always the top man. Oh, beloved, God demands integrity, holiness, integrity in all our dealings with money. If we name the name of Christ, God demands integrity in government taxes. With government taxes, God demands integrity in stewardship or in any dealings with finances within the church or God's service. God demands integrity. Demands integrity with our tithes. And our free will offerings. God demands integrity with our tithes. And our free will offerings. Malachi 3 verse 8. Will a man rob God? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. Yet ye say, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes. In tithes. Is God looking at you? You who smile. And you name the name of Christ even as a child. This word will judge you, God says. No man, you judge yourself when you hear this word. If you play the fool with God. God demands integrity, holiness, integrity with our tithes and free will offerings. Be careful here. We must never confuse God's commandments for us to show compassion upon the poor and needy. We must never confuse God's commandments for us to show compassion upon the poor and needy with God's commandments to give tithes and offerings. You see, Judas Iscariot, anyone religious walking in Christ's footsteps, as it were, with the 12, anyone who really doesn't love him would regard that as a great waste. This ointment could have been sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. Why was it given to Christ when there's such other needs? But those totally devoted to Christ and in love with him, what anyone would regard as the greatest sacrifice a human could make to that person is not a sacrifice. It's a free will love offering to God. Don't confuse offerings. You see, the maintenance of God's temple and God's workers in that temple, separated by God to minister, unable to go out and work, is not to be looked upon as a less greater good for a child of God to have discipline and integrity to. The maintenance of God's work within the church itself, the established and the furtherance of the gospel. I do wish you could just come with me now across Africa into the missionaries' homes to see what they're surviving with. And India and wherever else before you judge me for saying this. And I'm not speaking about me. I want nothing from you. And anyone who even hears me preach knows that without questioning it. Or there's something wrong with you. There has to be integrity. You see, Abraham, before Moses, before the law, there was something he knew as he was a friend of God that he had to give a tenth before the law to what he knew was of God. A tenth of all that a man earns God requires. You give God the tenth, and watch how He provides every need you have on earth. Not your wants, your needs. Multitudes of Christians are struggling to stay out of debt because they don't give their tithing. Full stop. Don't look further. Has it ever occurred to you that when God tells you to do something, that if you don't, there will be repercussions from this God who you just blind your eyes to His commandments, as if they're not even there in the book you carry? While you carry it in your hands, you reject its contents in your heart. You won't live it. You're hearers of the word, but not doers. You accuse others. You say a testimony cancels out any need for me to live the standard. New Testament, oh, New Testament. They came on the first day of the week. Thank God. Otherwise, the poor Seventh-day Adventists might have something. And they brought their tithes, their offerings, their free will love offerings. And they communed and ate the Lord's Supper, remembrance of Him. But right into the New Testament. It's not just Old Testament, this thing. It's not just Jews. Conscience tells us. You're not saved by works. You're saved by faith. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted to him for righteousness. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, not of works. Lest any man should boast, it is the gift of God, being justified freely by grace through faith in his blood. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. But as John Calvin said, John Calvin was a good Calvinist. Not every Calvinist is good. I would be excommunicated in some communities saying that. But he did say that you are not saved or justified by works. But if you are saved and you are justified, it is evidenced by works. By the pursuit with every faculty of your being, John Calvin says, from that moment onwards, of holiness, which is the standard of God's word, not your man-made standards. You're not saved by works, you're saved by faith, but you're not saved unless your faith works and brings your life to correspond with the standard of this book. Sir, not some of it. Not some of it. Or you're not saved. You never have been. Well, what do you think all these verses are that Christ cries out, judgment will come with wrath to those that didn't do these things we have today said don't save you, but are the evidence, and not only the evidence, but the requirement of God upon you from the day you name Christ as your Savior till the day you die. Or stop naming Christ as your Savior, you lie. You lie. If your faith is dead without works, without the rest of the scriptures evident. The evidence of salvation is your saving faith works. Otherwise, it's as good as the devils, demons that believe. And they tremble. They so believe the word of God, you don't even tremble, knowing that your life is one contradiction to this whole book. And you say you believe? What does that profit? Your faith is as good as Satan's. He's not going to heaven. He believes. Saving faith works. You live. You live the message you hear from the pulpit if you're saved. And if you're saved and you don't, I believe in amazing, uncomprehendable grace. But by the time you get into heaven, how many you would have sent to hell, beginning with your children? Can we stand, please? So now, the next word you utter, and I know you're going to, you will give account to Christ what you said. I guarantee you. So be careful what you say about this book. When you've heard it. Because you're not angry with a man, you're angry with God. Who the man dared to quote of his requirements and what he will judge a man for on the day of judgment. You're angry with God, not me, sir. You might have expected a salvation message. You know what's really sickening? He's come, receive, believe, accept. Doesn't matter about the rest of the contents of this book. We won't even preach it. Even if Jesus said such words. Of who he will say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Who he specifically cries out through the whole of his ministry. Why? It's not just one moment of grace, sir. It's grace if it's from God. It's God's grace. If it changes your life to stagger the powers of hell by bringing your life to live this book to the best of the grace that God's ability, you work out how much that is to make you holy. Holiness without which no man shall see God. So what have you got? A testimony? But nothing of this book. Well, they asked me to preach tonight. Let's see who comes back. I'll tell you who will come back. Those who love truth. I'll tell you who will stay away unless you really have got a few hundred miles to drive. Those who hate truth. I know I'm different, and I know I'm unacceptable by the majority of pulpits in the world because I bring only God's word, and that is unacceptable today. The standard costs too much of this book to be preached as it stands, in its context. But I have not been called to be successful. I have been called to be faithful. And quite frankly, I care for nothing else. But that God will see that in my life. No matter what you do or say about me, nothing else matters to a preacher truly called by God. So, tonight, let's see who wants to be back in God's house. To hear what you know I'll preach. Let's see who's left who wants that. Sorry, who wants this anymore? Am I offending you? Forgive me. But if you are offended, no matter who you are, God forgive you, because the only reason you're offended here today is because you're guilty. And you know it. Tonight, 6 o'clock, I believe, was at 6:30. 6 o'clock. Yes. God take this message, and as angry as some people are and offended by Christ's words, not a man. Don't let anyone ever recover from this message till the day they die. Shock them, Lord, that suddenly, as things come upon them, it'll be like they're sitting in this building, listening to the whole sermon again, even if it's years from now, so write it across their consciences, because it's the word of God that God promised will not return unto him void. It shall accomplish the purpose, oh God. Anyone who dares to name the name of Christ in this building, from this day till the day they die again, don't let them forget this sermon, because it's just God's word. Don't let them forget God's word. Let there be fruit in all of our lives, even young children who start tithing their pocket money to God and his work. And tonight, Lord, if there's any grace left, or one iota of integrity and love for Christ in any heart, bring them back if there's any possibility. Not for my sake, but for the sake of him who shed his blood for us, to set us free, and free indeed from enslavement to sin. For if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, all things have become new. For the sake of him who tasted death for every man, and him alone, bring us back with thirsting for God, for righteousness, for holiness, for a life that will stagger the powers of hell every step we take by God's grace. Or otherwise we're playing the fool with God if we don't pursue that. Prepare our hearts and mine in mercy, for I am the basest of all men, the weakest and the most despised, I do believe. But because of that, have mercy on me. Because of the most of my heart, in asking God to use such a base, weak, and despised man in spite of this, that no flesh should ever be able to glory in my presence, God chooses such men. But everyone knows that's the truth of them. But most especially he does. Because all of us, but especially me, acknowledge that without thee we can do nothing. Nothing to turn a man to sin, from sin to God. So, in mercy, answer this prayer. Answer this prayer through this day, creating thirst in the hardest of hearts for truth and God and an uncompromising deliverance of what's in this book, no matter what the cost. Help us now, Lord, in what we say. The guilty who have no intention of turning are normally the first to laugh seconds after such a sermon is delivered. Help us, God, in Jesus the Christ's name. Amen.